When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Jeff Zito, and thanks for listening to the Celebrity Jobber podcast. What did some of these celebrities do before they were famous? What about a big break? What was it that really catapulted them to the next level? What an interesting story we have this week. Jimmy Allen, country star. 'Cause they ain't living like the greats. Them girls raising sticks. Them county line country dime truck driving chicks. Them greats. I met him at a function just a few months ago. I actually didn't think he was a country artist. He didn't look or dress like a country artist. And let's just be honest, there's not a whole lot of black country artists out there. Jimmy, you know, good-sized guy, very athletic-looking. I kind of thought he was an athlete. Got talking to him a little bit, really enjoyed our conversation, and I asked him to be on the podcast. He was like, sure. So as I got to research him a little bit, I was pretty surprised to find out that he wanted to talk to me, as he had some pretty big stuff going on, mainly a sexual assault lawsuit. And I was kind of like wondering why he would even want to talk to me. Well, you're going to find out why, because he's pretty open and honest and, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. And yeah, I even talked to him about the sexual assault lawsuit, which, by the way, has been dropped just a couple of weeks ago. Who is this guy? What makes him tick? What kind of jobs did he have before country music? Get ready for a good one. Jimmy Allen is my guest this week on Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
So Jimmy tells me he's just getting back from Pittsburgh because he was in a pro bowling tournament. This guy's also a pro bowler. I had no idea, bro. How's it going?
What's going on, bro?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Tell me a little bit about your family. So you grew up, I understand, in, you know, close to my neck of the woods. My neck of the woods is New Jersey. You grew up in Delaware, and you spent a lot of time there?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Milton, Delaware. Lived there my whole life until 2007, when I moved to Nashville.
Okay. So at that point in 2007, you know, music was already on your mind. But growing up in Delaware when you were just a kid, what were, you know, did you play sports? What did you do, you know, as a youngster growing up?
Oh, man. You know, growing up, you know, my family was huge into sports. That's really what my family does.
Really?
Sports hands, you know. We've had somebody in the NBA, somebody play Major League Baseball. My brother got drafted by the Mets. Sports was a lot, you know.
Really? Wow. Okay, so were you following in anybody's footsteps? Were you, you know, a great baseball player, or what, you know, what did you do?
Yes, I played baseball, basketball, and soccer.
Wow.
I didn't really want to play football because I was little in high school. Like, I was like, I'm talking, when I graduated high school, I was like 135, 140 pounds.
Right. But basketball, baseball, you did that all through high school or what?
Yeah, I did that all through high school in soccer.
When did you become disinterested, you know, with all of these members of your family being, you know, successful in sports and coming from an athletic family? Was there a point in time where you were like, okay, I'm kind of disinterested in doing this at the next level. I want to go into music. How did music kind of come into your world?
You know, for me, ever since the beginning when I first started doing sports, I already knew it wasn't something I wanted to do past high school. For me, sports was just a way to stay in shape. It was fun, way to be active, you know, spend time with some friends and stuff playing sports, but I always knew music was what I wanted to do. And my family knew that the whole time, too, you know, because they were, even though I play sports and they love sports, whatever, they always supported me in theater, you know, in band, even in ROTC when I did ROTC.
Wow.
Sports was more just like an exercise.
So tell me a little bit about your parents. Were they athletic? What did they do for work in Milton, Delaware?
Yeah, so my dad was really good at baseball. He had opportunity to go pro, but then he got injured. My mom was a nurse, and my dad, after the baseball stuff, he went to the military. He was a Marine.
Oh, man.
And when he got out of service, he did construction for a living. He worked for the University of Delaware.
So, Jimmy, you grew up in a house with a former Marine. He didn't let you get away with anything, did he?
Hell no. And we don't cut corners, man. You know, when it comes to life, you put that work in. No matter what it is, we don't believe in quitting.
Right.
You know? When you're trying to achieve something, like that's what I really think helped in the whole music journey. When I got to Nashville, you know, my dad used to always say, put your bullshit to the side and get your ass in gear.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because so many people, you know, say they want something but don't want to do it. You know, hence why I always told myself, I might not ever be the most talented person in the room, but I'm going to be the most hardworking person in the room, and I don't care what my odds are. And that's something I learned from my father.
Man, when did music kind of come into play, Jimmy? When did you say to yourself, like, I really like this, I'm really good at this, and I want to kind of make a career out of this?
When I was like 12, it was all about, for me, timing, being the right place at the right time, you know, meeting the right people at the right time.
So you're 12 years old. What happened? Did you get a guitar at 12 years old? How did it start?
All I can remember is that as long as I remember having a memory,
right,
music is all I wanted to do. And it wasn't really an instrument that kicked in. It was just the love of music, you know, the way it made me feel. Because I'd asked my mom multiple times what age I was when I first mentioned it. And one time she said 9, one time she said 12, you know, because I can't remember back. Somebody can remember thoughts from when they were 12. They're an interesting person, I think.
Right.
But they're a liar, one or two. But, you know, I just always know. You know, then I was a drummer in church for a while growing up. Then after that, I played piano. After piano, you know, I started, like, singing with the choir and stuff like that in church. And then I got into musical theater. And it was once I got into musical theater that everything really, really clicked for me. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I have to do.
So was it always country music? I'm just going to throw it out there because you're a black guy from Delaware singing country music. It just doesn't seem like there was a lot of that going on. Tell me about country music and how that entered your life.
Well, you know, country's always been a part of my life, country music. One, where I grew up, country is shit out here.
Right.
And then the crazy thing is, every black person around here just about listens to country music. Like I tell people all the time, the industry might not have let black people in for a long time, but there's been black country artists singing country for years. I know 20 black country artists that started between 95 and now that tour the country playing, but they don't have a record deal. They're just independent. It's always been a thing. But, you know, what happens is the gatekeepers that weren't too cool with black people coming into their genre kept black people out. And then they painted this false narrative like country music is something started by white people, which is bullshit, because it's not.
How the hell did you break through that stereotype and the gatekeepers that were in charge of the game at the time?
You know, it took someone with an open mind. You know what I mean? It took someone to label with an open mind. But honestly, it also took me being me.
Yes.
Showing these, because here's the thing. Even though I finally got a record deal, you know, the label still wanted me to, they're still only used to dealing with white country artists. They're not used to dealing with black people. You know what I mean? So a lot of stuff that black people and white people do is different. Like, yeah, I'm from the country. My family's super redneck, grandparents, you know, all of them have farms and stuff. But the black culture is different. Like I tell people, culture and race are two different things.
Correct.
So I grew up, yeah, we might drive trucks and chew tobacco and, you know, wear camo, but we got swag. How we talk is different. You know, how we dress is different. So they're trying to paint me to look like a clone of these white country artists with the white T-shirt, jeans, the Giving Key necklace, and a ball cap. Like, nah, that ain't going to work. So what helped me break through, honestly, was me being myself and letting them see that the fan base was ready for something different other than these clones of country artists that they keep putting out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to be honest with you, Jimmy. When we first met, they were doing a thing at the casino, a big promotion, and they had a bunch of athletes there. And I honestly just, you didn't look like a country singer to me, you know, and I'm in the world of rock music. You know, I work at a, you know, rock radio station. So that's kind of like my wheelhouse. But when I first saw you, I thought you were an athlete because you didn't dress like a country singer. You were you. You did your own thing.
That's how I think it should be. You know what I mean? Like, I miss the days of old school country artists like Porter Wagoner, Dolly Parton. These people had a look. You know what I mean? They wore a clothes. They wore a costume. You know what I mean? They looked like somebody. I'm sorry, but if I walk into a room and somebody tells me one person is an artist and one person ain't, right? And I see somebody that's got their own style versus somebody that's wearing a white T-shirt, blue jeans, cowboy boots, a Giving Key necklace, and a cowboy hat, or just a ball cap. I'm going to be like, this dude look boring.
Right.
Or person, I'm looking at them the way they're dressed. Okay, so I'm thinking they're going to sound just like everybody else that dressed like that.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, there's a lot of country artists I know that have great styles, that have things they want to do outside the box. But sometimes the label or the manager or whatever could be forcing them to go down this one way,
yeah,
because it's safe, and that's not really what the artist wants to do.
Interesting.
But for me, yeah, for me, I was always a, nah, look, I'm going to do what I want. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what makes me happy because at the end of the day, it's my career. I get one.
Oh, there's also, I mean, I can tell there's a great deal of confidence here too, which means, you know, you're confident in your music. And when you have that and you know it's good, you know, you can call your own shots.
Absolutely. So for me, when I look at playing the game, I look at it more as kind of say, hey, this is a path till you get to a certain point. And once you get past this point, you're good to go.
You get to do what you want to do.
And I used to tell myself playing the game, but then what happens is a lot of times when people, a lot of artists want to play the game, what happens is you get caught up in the game.
Right.
The game plays you. Next thing you know, you're stuck being the artist that you don't want to be because they want you to be that.
Wow.
And that's why for me, when it comes to country, for me, it's always been multiple genres since day one. Like, if people go back and listen to my record, every single album, you'll hear pop songs, rock songs, Christian songs, country songs, R&B songs, since my first record. But what happened was, I was with a country label. They only promote the country shit. They didn't promote the pop stuff that was on the record, or the hip-hop stuff that was on the record, or the rock stuff that was on the record, because they were a country label. But the music has been there since day one.
You didn't switch. So tell me a little bit about your big break. Was it the song Best Shot? What do you consider the thing that made Jimmy Allen from Milton, Delaware into Jimmy Allen, you know, singer, songwriter, star?
Honestly, I think it was Best Shot helped it, but I think the moment was when I did Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
Because to me, I don't grade my success off of how many people in a certain fan base knows who I am. I grade it off of how do I stack up to people talent-wise and notoriety across the globe, across different formats. Because there's a lot of people, even though I had three number ones at the time, that watched Dance with the Stars, that never heard of me. For me, it wasn't until I started doing shows like Dance with the Stars, being a mentor on American Idol, co-hosting the Today Show. Honestly, for me, it was like, once I started doing more on television, that's when things really kicked out for me. But what really catapulted my music was the more television I did. Because that was the one thing that I used to always be, you know, a little upset with, you know, my past label was, why am I doing your job for you?
Right.
Like, you're supposed to be helping me market my music. Why is me having to set up TV stuff pushing my music? You know what I mean? That was the one thing that I used to be upset with. But I feel like that really helped. Like, I feel like country radio started it. It was the television stuff that kind of took it to the next level.
You know, it's funny, Jimmy, because I wasn't expecting, you know, and I've known that, you know, I knew that you appeared on American Idol, and I knew that you were a part of Dancing with the Stars. But when you say that you consider Dancing with the Stars your big break, and as I'm just kind of thinking about it right now, what's happened here is that these television things have made you a person. They hear your music, it's just a song. They don't know anything about Jimmy Allen. What Dancing with the Stars did for you was introduced you, the person, to all of these different people that weren't necessarily country music fans. They were just watching this TV show that is a huge hit. Then your personality shines through and they go, hey, this guy's a pretty cool guy. I like this guy. And he became a human being. And it's pretty interesting.
And that's why I always tell people, I'm not looking to make country fans. I'm not looking to make rock fans. I'm not looking to make hip hop fans. I'm looking to make Jimmy Allen fans. Because there could be, you know, like when I go to my concerts, man, it is the most interesting mix of people
right.
I've ever seen in my life. Because people go see who they want to see because they feel some sort of connection, whether it's through a song, whether it's through a conversation, whether it's through an interview they heard, whether it's through the way they dress, whether it's through similar interests, right?
Right.
And that's where I feel like you find that real connection. Because I've had people come to my shows that they came because the relationship I had with my grandmother that I talked about on the Today Show. Another person came because they knew I loved One Tree Hill. And they said, we don't really like country music, but we like you, so we're going to come support you, and now we like your music. We don't like country music, but we like your music. And that's why, for me, I was like, whenever you have, I tell artists, don't chase a fan base in a certain genre of music. Because you put yourself in a box and you limit yourself to all the amazing people that your music could touch and all the amazing people that you'll get to meet because your music touched them. You know what I mean?
I do. You mentioned something so interesting to me a second ago, and I just wanted to tell you my personal story with it. You were saying you should see my shows and the walks of life that show up to one of my concerts. I recently met this guy that I'm sure you know very well, Jelly Roll. And
oh yeah,
I meet this guy, and he's a big guy. He's got face tattoos, and he raps. He does country. He does rock. I went to this guy's show, and I can't tell you how many different walks of life I saw. I mean, there was not one group of person that showed up to see this guy. There was just, I mean, all different ages, demographics.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane to me. And I now...
Those are the type of groups of people you're like, damn, the only time y'all would ever be together is right now.
Right? Exactly. There's no... those types of people that are showing up to those shows are definitely not hanging out any other place outside of that concert. No. That's for sure. I think it's incredible to do that because that's not easy to do. I've never seen somebody cross over to so many different genres before. That's what you're doing. That's incredibly difficult.
I played a show in December. I do like to meet and greet whatever after the show. And this lady, somebody's wheeling her up to me in a wheelchair. She said, Jimmy, my grandma wanted to spend her 92nd birthday at your concert. But the old white lady, they drove from South Carolina to Delaware for a concert.
Wow.
And she wanted to spend her 95th birthday at my concert.
That's eye-opening. Yes, that's nuts, man. Well, I get it more than just reading about you. You know, when you research somebody, I go to talk to somebody to do one of these things. I want to know all about them. You read the words, you think you know what you're saying, but I really understand it now. But my big question is, what if this didn't work out? What was your backup plan? Was there a backup plan?
The backup plan was to keep going until it worked out.
Got it.
If it didn't work out yet, I'd still be pushing for it to work out.
Got it.
Because the one thing I learned that my grandma taught me when I was younger, she told me never have a backup plan. Because it's impossible to put 100% into two different things.
Smart.
I remember I was in school. I got in trouble in middle school because my teacher had asked me, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I'm going to be a singer, an entertainer. I said, I'm going to act. I'm going to do television shows. I'm going to have a radio show. I'm going to sing. I'm going to dance. She said, no, but seriously, what do you want to do? I said, I'm telling you, that's it. She said, well, what's your plan B? I said, I don't do plan B. I said, did you have a backup plan when you were in school? She said, no, I'm going to be a teacher. I said, so just because you got going to be a teacher doesn't mean you're guaranteed to get a job.
Right.
I said, so since you didn't need a backup plan, why do I got to have one? So she sent me to the principal's office, right?
Oh, man.
So called my mother. My mother comes in. Obviously, they don't know my mom. My mom comes in. She said, what's the problem? They told my mom the whole situation. My mom said, let me tell y'all something right now. The only time I'm going to ever tell you, she told the teacher and the principal, don't you ever confine my son to your small mentality and your limitations.
Wow.
If my son says he's going to be an entertainer, he's going to be an entertainer. And that's why I learned so many quotes, so many things from just like from my mom, you know what I mean? So she was like, he's going to be an entertainer, he's going to be like, she put him in their place, and she said, this is the last time I ever want to hear y'all say anything like that to my son.
Wow. It seems like your family really played a big part in your success. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, who you just mentioned. I mean, it seems like a great family, a great upbringing, and they really, you know, supported you, totally supported you, man, 100%.
Absolutely. Man, they really did. And my family was a family that did not believe in having backup plans, plan Bs. You know, hence why my dad got five kids and I got all the kids I got. We don't do plan B. But no, man, it's you have to have courage to withstand the no's, the people looking at you weird, the people not believing in, you know, what you have to offer the world. And having my family behind me the whole time, you know, they've kept my mind right when I was starting off. They kept my mind right when things were going good. They keep my mind right when things is going bad. You know, and they just constantly remind me, because the trick is a lot of people forget who they are. No matter what you go through, no matter how successful you are, no matter what people say about you, as long as you know who you are, all that matters. And eventually everything will come around the way it's supposed to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, you mentioned things going bad. There was a sexual assault lawsuit against you. And by the way, there were no criminal charges filed against Jimmy. And just last week, the lawsuit was dropped. So my question, is there anything you want to say or anything you can say about that lawsuit?
I'll say this. No matter what I go through in life, my family's always there, reminding me who I am, telling me to be patient, and that God's got a way of always letting the truth come out.
Right.
I see why actors I'm friends with and a few artists I'm friends with have small circles.
Right.
You know, the more you become successful, people start to switch up a little bit. And I've seen a lot of my friends, their circle gets smaller and smaller. You know, over the last few years, my circle has gotten smaller. You know, and also because I feel like a lot of friendships, like I tell people, never be upset when you lose a friendship. Sometimes it's like a spaceship and a booster. You know, some friendships are like boosters.
Right.
Once they hit a certain altitude, they fall off because they're not designed to go higher than that.
It's a good analogy.
You know, and you can't, some people don't deserve to go to the level you're going because they don't bring anything of value to your life. There's a lot of people that have a lot of one-sided friendships. Matter of fact, I had a friend of mine that just stopped talking to me recently, a couple of weeks ago, because this person didn't feel that I did enough to keep the friendship going. Meaning, they had called me, and I ain't answer, whatever, because we were supposed to hang out.
Okay.
I ain't answer. Then 2 days later, they text me and said, left this voicemail. Well, you know, I've tried doing this and da-da-da. Think you're selfish. We were supposed to go do this. You didn't call and cancel. Me in that situation, there's somebody that I'm talking to, that my friend, and I reach out, and they don't answer the phone for 2 days. You know what the first thing I'm going to say? Hey, is everything okay? Obviously, something might be wrong.
Right.
Not knowing I was just dealing with something, with my grandfather was in the hospital. And I didn't care about my phone because my grandfather wasn't doing good. And then one of my childhood best friends was in the hospital. So, and that's what I tell people. And then we got to a huge conversation. I explained to them. I said, I got a couple of friends from college. For instance, my boy Jermaine. He's the best man in my life. We lived together for years in college. My roommate in college, after college. We'll go a month and a half without talking.
Never skip a beat.
And then hop back on the phone. Like we didn't skip a day.
Yep.
Well, one time, he texted me and said, yo, I text him back 3 weeks later. No problem. Or I'll text him. He'll text me back a week or two later. There's no issues, you know? And that's where I feel like you got to surround yourself with people that have your best interests at heart as well as their own.
So you were talking about your college roommate. Where did you go to college and what did you major in?
I went to Delaware State University. It's a historically black college. And the reason why I went there, see, a lot of things I do in life are strategic. So growing up in Milton, Delaware, this redneck town, farms, soybean fields all around. Everybody down here, black, white, Mexican, Asian, don't matter. Listen to country music, small town people. I realized if I wanted to be an entertainer, I need to understand how different types of people thought, speak, process information, process music. So I purposely went to a historically black college because I knew if I went there, I would meet black people from outside of Delaware. From Jersey, Philly, New York. But I also knew I'd meet a lot of white people from Jersey, Philly, New York. I went there for a year and a half, didn't major in anything. I was on academic probation every semester after the first one. So that didn't, you know, I went there to get a degree in people, not a degree. So I didn't care about going to class.
Right.
I would go to all the parties, social functions, hang out in the cast. There, left there, then I started hanging out at like University of Delaware, Wesley College. So that way I started meeting black, white, and Asian people from like different areas, like suburbs and stuff like that, you know, from different areas of the world and different areas of, you know, like Delaware, upstate PA. Because I knew both schools would bring me different types of people. And I needed to understand how these people from the Hamptons think, how these people from upstate New York, Rochester and all these places, Albany, how they think, how they process music. I knew I would meet different types of not only races of people, races wasn't a big thing for me. It was culture. Because people don't understand, the culture in where I'm from in Lower Delaware, it's its own culture. But then inside of it, you have different cultures inside of that.
Right.
And those cultures come in all different races. And that's what I needed to meet. I needed to meet some stuck-up prudes. I needed to meet ghetto people. I needed to meet some country-ass bumpkins. Well, I already knew a bunch of country bumpkins. I need to meet some uptight Christians.
Right.
You know what I mean? I needed to meet some people that were open with their sexuality. I need to meet people that were quiet and hiding their sexuality. People process information based off where they are in life. So if you have a person that's open about who they are, like my half-brother's gay, he was open with his life. Then I have a friend that wasn't. So even how he processed information and some days listened to music was different. Even
yes.
Though their sexuality was the same, one was hidden and one was open. So someone's life really affects how they think, how they process, how they move around. And I said, I needed to understand it.
I think you could pursue a career in psychology because you're such a deep thinker. And when music, when it becomes something that maybe you don't want to do anymore, man, you are a high level thinker. Just to tell me about, that's why you went to college, to learn about people and cultures.
And even now, you know, music is fun, but there's nothing that I want to accomplish that I haven't. My goal was never to win a bunch of awards. My goal was never to have a bunch of number ones on radio. Even though I did win some awards, did get a Grammy nomination. I got an Emmy nomination. I have I won a CMA, won an ACM. And it was fun. It was cool. You know, but those weren't the highlights of my career.
Right.
You know, somebody asked me what the highlight is. It was the gold suit that I designed and wore to the Grammys was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Now that's cool.
Yeah. To me, it was standing on stage and singing with Charlie Pride and presenting Charlie Pride with the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Legendary.
For me, it was recording a song with Charlie Pride and Darius Rucker. For me, it was being on stage and singing with Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20, you know? For me, it was doing a song with Babyface and writing a song with Babyface. For me, it was doing a song and writing a song with Elton John.
Wow.
On his last record, the Lockdown Sessions, you know? For me, it was doing a song with KC from KC and JoJo. We're doing a remake of After the Love Is Gone with Philip and Earth, Wind & Fire. You know, those were moments.
Huge moments.
You know, becoming co-host of the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda. Like, you know, getting to honor Garth Brooks at the Kennedy Center Honors, singing Friends in Low Places and Thunder Rolls. You know, Dancing with the Stars. Like, stuff like that is what gets me going. That's why even now, like, I make music not because I have to, but because I want to.
This is who you are.
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, I could just get dressed up, go on to red carpets and stuff. No, I could care less. I could literally walk away from all that, and I'm good. That's why 99.2% of my friends have regular jobs. There's very few artists I hang out with. Maybe two that I would consider a friend. Maybe three that I would consider a friend.
So all your friends are just regular Joes.
Absolutely. I'm still friends. We got a group of friends, 12 of us from college, 10 guys, 2 girls. We're all still friends, still very close. A guy, my boy Drew, he was my next door neighbor when I was a kid. We're still friends. My boy Nick Sharp, we're still friends. Me and my kindergarten teacher, we still talk all the time. My first grade teacher, we still talk.
Wow.
Like, so for me, even though I moved out of Delaware, I never lost who I was.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jimmy, tell me about all these old-time friends of yours from Milton, Delaware. When you're living there, I want to know, before music, what was your first job?
My first job, I worked at Funland.
Funland.
It's this small amusement park in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, on the boardwalk that has been there since I can remember.
Okay.
Like, my son, when he was 2 years old, put him in this boat ride. This little yellow boat ride there, right? I got a picture when I was 2 years old in that same damn boat.
That's crazy.
You know, it was fun, man. It was like this little amusement park. They got games. They got little rides and stuff like that. I worked at the outlets like Jeffrey Bean, Timberland. I worked at a store called Marshall's. You know, I worked for Walmart. You know, those are jobs I had here. You know, I worked at Super Fresh. Acme, everywhere. I even worked at Ann Taylor. So me and my best friend Jermaine worked at Ann Taylor, the women's clothing store.
Right.
So we were cashiers at first. So I went to my boss. I was in high school, went to my boss and said, hey, I want to create a job for myself. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, this is a women's store, right? Typically women between 36 and up. I said, I'm 18. Why don't I go around the store and compliment the older ladies on what's they're holding up what they're looking at. And she was like, let's try it. So I was honest. This one, so I was just walking around the store. She said, let's try it for a shift. I walked around the store, saw this one lady looking at T-shirts. I said, yeah, I don't think that shirt fits you. She said, what do you mean? I said, it fits you as far as style, the energy I'm getting from you. I don't think that's your look. Now, I think this one is. I think that's your choice. I think this really highlights your smile. This really doesn't do your eyes any justice. But this does. So that became my job.
Wow.
I was 18, and it wasn't an every 2 week paycheck. We got paid every Friday. And literally, when I came in, my job was to walk around, make people laugh, make them feel comfortable, and give them honest opinions about what they were wearing. Then my boys was like, well, Jimmy, why won't you work there? Why won't you want to work at Foot Locker? I said, listen, y'all could rather work with sweaty dudes and help them. I'm good where I'm at, buddy.
Oh, man.
Great. You know, I got to meet so many amazing people had so many conversations with a lot of, you know, older ladies that were struggling with confidence and having a hard time at work and at home, and had a lot of different conversations. This one lady talked to me. She was probably like my mom's age. And she was having a hard time with her son that was my age trying to understand it. So we had conversations about that, about what he was going through, about what he was thinking. You know, then this one lady came in that had her daughter's boyfriend was my age and was trying to understand just where he was in life. So for me, it became, you know, it wasn't quite a job anymore. I looked at it just hanging out and just helping people get through life. And if I can bring somebody a smile in that moment and help them forget about whatever bullshit they're going through outside of these store doors, when they came to this store, I wanted it to be a place where they could be comfortable, where they could try some clothes on, you know, pick out a couple clothes and stuff like that, but also take something that would apply to their life and they could attach it to themselves in a situation that would help them beyond the doors.
Wow.
And that's what I do in my concerts, too. It's not really the song that people connect with. It's what they're going through that connects with the words.
Correct. I can tell you that researching you, I know that you had a difficult year, and I listened to the song Better Now, and I immediately think I know what you're singing about. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You're honest. And I think that's, you know, a big part of who you are, and that's what makes you likable and relatable to so many different people. Man, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, man.
Man, it's been great talking to you too. Yeah, Better Now is a song about myself, you know, telling myself I hope you're better. You know, I hope you find a way to not let the labels that people want to put on you, the style of music you should do, the way you want to dress, the whatever, you should be happy with who you are. And I hope you're better today than you were yesterday.
Great talking to you. And for anybody out there wanting to check out your music, what's your website, Jimmy?
JimmyAllen15.com.
JimmyAllen15?
Yep, JimmyAllen15.com.
JimmyAllen15.com. JimmyAllen15.com. I'm telling you, thanks so much, man. You've been so honest and open, and I got a good vibe from you when I met you, and we had a cool conversation, and I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to you and help tell your story a little bit.
Oh, man, I appreciate you, man. I'm glad we got to meet, glad we got to connect. And I saw you have my brother, my boy Wayne Brady on the show.
That's right. I sure did. All the best, all the success. Good luck to you this year. Thanks so much, Jimmy. Have a great day, man.
All right, man. I see.
Can't put him in a box. Jimmy Allen is his own man. Really interesting story about country music and how he felt like the good old boy network wanted to keep him out. And it's just the way it's been for years. But Jimmy has found a way to break through. But, you know, doesn't consider himself necessarily a country artist. He says he's always done different kinds of songs, whether they're country, they're rock, they're pop, they're hip-hop. Jimmy does it all. His big break wasn't a number one hit on the country charts either. He considers his big break getting himself on TV and familiarizing himself with a lot of different people. Dancing with the Stars was what he mentioned as what he thought was his big break. I thought that was interesting, but then made a lot of sense, especially talking to this guy and just how he was a deep thinker about how people process stuff, how people process music, and how he was talking about, you know, meeting people while he was at college and cultures, and really, really interesting the way Jimmy thought. You know, comes from a very tight-knit family, an athletic family, professional athletes in his family, chose to go the route of music. He said he was young, maybe 9 or 12 years old. He said he didn't remember. He didn't remember what the hell he was doing back when he was 9 or 12. Which I thought was kind of funny, because I remember what I was doing back when I was 9 or 12. Not everything, but certain little things. And, you know, Jimmy had a tough year with that sexual assault lawsuit, which, by the way, got dropped. No charges were ever filed against Jimmy. And you might have noticed him in the news again this week, where they talked about the birth of his twins. Yeah, not a very smooth ride this year for Jimmy Allen. But again, it seems like he's got a huge support group and his circle is getting smaller and his family very tight. First job, hey, had a lot of them. Talked about the small amusement park in Delaware, followed by a Walmart, worked at Acme. And then he talked about working at Ann Taylor, where he kind of created his own job. Would compliment the ladies on some of the clothes that they were holding up. He's a people person. There's no doubt about that. And bumpy ride this year or not, I don't think it's the last we heard of Jimmy Allen. Thanks so much for checking out Celebrity Jobber. You can stream us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All past episodes on CelebrityJobber.com. You can follow us on our new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@CelebrityJobber. Who knows what would have happened to Jimmy Allen if he didn't make it as an entertainer? I still think a career in psychology isn't out of the question. He created his own path. He had no backup plan. This was it. For most, people are just one big break away from becoming famous. You know, having an ordinary, everyday job. You know, what if? Big question here. It's different for everybody. Everybody has their own story. That's what I like the most about the Celebrity Jobber podcast. Have a great Easter. Thanks again for listening. Until next week, I'm Jeff Zito.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.